listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician. Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, episode number
99.
My name is Kevin, and joining me for this roundtable edition is Chris and Bolton. Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. Are we going by Bolton now? Bolton.
He's been, yeah, or the Bolt.
I thought it was the Bolt.
Oh, well, the Bolt. Bolton.
I swing both ways.
It was Bolton, but the song The Bolt came out. I think that's right. How it went down. I got to go back.
Yeah, yeah, we had the song The Bolt.
We forget our own history.
Yes, but anyway, it's good to be back in the podcasting suite here at CD Baby. We've been, it's been a little hit and miss in the summer, which is what we expected.
Yeah.
That's usually what happens.
But we're only one episode away from
episode 100.
This is going to be a very special episode. Who knows what's going to happen? We're just...
Well, I already know a little bit of what could happen. Which leads me into, I had to thank a couple people, Tony and Ann from over at Discmakers. Tony's the CEO of the company. He sent us a bottle of champagne.
Oh, that was from Tony. Nice.
Yeah, so we're going to break that out during the 100th episode. So,
and if anyone else would like to,
what'll happen.
If anyone else would like to contribute to the revelry. And,
that's right. We'll probably be recording it next week, so there's still plenty of time, and still plenty of time to get your... shout outs in. We've had some calls from stage, and we'll be playing some of those.
Nice.
And,
excellent.
Yeah. So that if you want to do that, the number's 206-426-5683, and it's on the podcast website as well.
And we like Maker's Mark and chocolate chip cookies.
Yep. All that stuff.
And Ferraris.
Yeah. So we've got a start. Let's see what can happen in a week. So. But I had a couple other thank yous, and this, before we start recording, Bolton, I told you I had something for you.
A surprise for me?
Yes, DJ Phillips. He sent us some t-shirts, and I've got yours. It's been sitting on the back of my chair all week, but...
Oh, I like that t-shirt.
There you go.
All right.
So we like t-shirts here, so DJ happened to pick up on that and sent us some.
You know, it looks like... It almost looks like OY, but it's kind of DJ...
It's DJ with an exclamation point.
Someone else was wearing one of these recently. Was it you?
It was Peter.
Oh, Peter. Okay.
I like it, though.
Peter's one of the other people in the marketing department here for anyone listening at home.
But, so we appreciate that. And
yeah, thanks, DJ.
And then I had one more thank you. Steve, a listener, he's in a band called Strange Letter, came out to one of our shows, Hello Morning shows, recently, and we were talking about the podcast and stuff, and... He's a big fan of the podcast, and so it's always cool to meet people in person that listen to the show, because it's just kind of that, you know, we put it out on the internet and it just goes somewhere. We don't
Are they usually really disappointed when they meet you in
person? I think he was disappointed in my height. He's really tall, and I'm taller than you.
You have a towering presence,
yes,
though.
Yes, well, I have been working out, so.
You know, if you do decide to send us something, we will mention it on the show.
That's right.
If it's legal.
If it's legal.
If it's illegal, right. We will not mention it.
If it's illegal, I doubt that shipping will bring it to our office.
That's true. If it's illegal,
we'll find them opening up out in the parking
lot. Stay out in the warehouse.
Unless we have anything else to banter about before the news. I was just commenting. We're currently enjoying a Kit Kat bar, mm-hmm. and I was commenting on how Chris just dives right in and eats the whole bar, where I break them off individually. And
I don't always do that.
And I'm here watching Chris, wondering how he's going to respond to that, because his cheeks are full of chocolate.
All right, what we can do is read the news.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
Music.
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 News.
All right, here are some headlines that I think you'll find interesting. Apple has announced a special music event on September 1st, which many speculate will feature a new lineup of iPods, a revamped Apple TV, and possibly a new iTunes with social features. Ever since Apple purchased the music service Lala, there's been the expectation that Apple would move to a cloud-based system for the iTunes Store. Although it's not expected that they will go that far this time around, we could be seeing a newly revamped iTunes that not only has the social features, but includes a web-based light version as well. Well, we've been hearing rumors for a long time that a much-needed update was coming to MySpace band profiles. Well, that rumor is finally a reality. MySpace has rolled out the beta version of their new streamlined band pages, and my first impression is extremely positive. They've put together some very nice layouts and standardized some of the customization features that previously you had to do some web code trickery to get. The question remains, though, will bands bother to go and upgrade? Will this help steer MySpace back to relevance? We'll be watching that one. And finally, Pandora, the internet radio station of choice by many, just recently celebrated its 5th anniversary. They also rolled out genre stations, so you can listen to a particular genre, and they'll feed you song selections based on that genre choice. And over on the CD Baby DIY Musician blog, we post an article by Michael Zapruder, I think that's how you pronounce his name, a music curator at Pandora, in which he outlines the steps you must take in order to get your music on Pandora. I know we've talked about it some in recent episodes of the podcast, and it was nice to get this info directly from the source. So if you've been trying to figure out the process, head over to our blog at diymusician.cdbaby.com to check it out. And we'll put links to that in the show notes. So those are the headlines.
I've actually played a show with Michael's band before.
Really?
It's Michael Zapruder and the Reign of Frogs.
Cool.
So people should check it out. And in his band are other people that work at Pandora that are, they're not the music curators, but they're the musicologists, I guess you'd call them. The people that rate the songs based on all those 500 criteria.
Wow. I bet it didn't take them 9 months to get added to the catalog.
Are they very eclectic band, you know, just all sorts of genres and styles mixed together?
Yes.
That would be interesting.
You know, I saw a picture of the the Apple banner online today that you know how they unveil a banner that like advertises their event, and it's a picture of a guitar and the hole that's cut in the guitar is the shape of an apple.
Yes.
So what people are speculating that that points towards a GarageBand update, because you know a guitar doesn't necessarily just point towards an iTunes update. It almost seems like more appealing to musicians. So there may be a maybe band.
There could be a whole podcast, the psychology behind Apple advertising.
Well, we'll see.
Well, you know, that could be a possibility, because there were rumors flying that there was going to be a new iLife update in August, and people were having like, it's this date, and then those dates came and went, and that's a possibility. I just hope that last year, it's pretty typical for them to roll out new iPods this time of year, because I think it was September last year where they had a rock and roll event, they called it, and had Norah Jones play, which she's not rock and roll, so I don't know why they billed it as a rock and roll event and had Norah Jones play. But anyway, so that's why a lot of people think needs to be a new iPod.
Yeah, there needs to be a new line of iPod for Christmas, because it's going to boost their sales.
But a GarageBand update might be a nice twist. Unexpected.
Or both.
And MySpace actually went over, and that was today that the news got out that they did that. They look nice. It'd be interesting to see what people think, if they're...
it's too little, too late.
Yeah, I mean, the pages look nice. They're streamlined, and it gives you like the ability to update a header, but they still have some work to do on the back end with what you do in your account, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good step in the right direction. One thing that I thought was interesting is they got rid of all the like your fan faces off of your page, stuff like that, which I thought had gotten kind of annoying. And they make less of a deal about how many fans or followers you have, which I think is good as well, because, you know, MySpace numbers, how many fans you had, used to be a big deal, and people used to pay money to get fans and things like that. But now it's somewhat meaningless. And actually, it's a number that's hard to get that high anymore because the number of people using it is dropped off, or feeling the need to fan a band. They may be using it and going to the pages, but there's not that social component. Similar to what like Facebook does or whatever.
The social component of MySpace, I think people just abandoned it because it was so obnoxious with all the spamming and everything. That, I mean, I think that people still go to MySpace pages, but you don't have to log in to see a band's MySpace page. So they just go visit, check out the music, and then go somewhere else.
They have been they have been doing a lot of work on the interface that, you know, in your account, it still has a little bit to go, but that they've kind of been slowly making progress towards like a Facebook type interface. So that could be a bonus of MySpace, is that it has that interactivity if people are on MySpace.
Right.
And then also has the benefit of having your music better like merchandise than what it would be on Facebook. So we'll see. It'll be interesting. I'm sure this is just the beginning. They'll be probably rolling out some more features, I would hope.
Sorry, I'm on Facebook mentioning that we're recording the 99th episode.
At least it's podcast related.
Yeah, yeah.
All
always
right.
Always on Facebook.
Always on Facebook.
I'm not zoning out. I just don't have anything to say about MySpace.
It's okay.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, why don't we jump into a discussion about last week's last episode? So, interview with Brian Meese from the crowdfunding or fan funding site called Rocket Hub at rockethub.com. And I thought it was a great interview.
Now, is Rocket Hub one of those fan funding sites where you have to get approved, where your project has to get approved?
No, and we didn't have it. He mentioned it a couple times, but I don't think I really actually asked, do you have to approve it? With other sites like Kickstarter, you have to be approved. With Rocket Hub, the only way you're not going to get up there is like if you're doing something that's either illegal or
offensive,
you know.
It's interesting. I mean, both models are interesting. I mean, when you have a fan funding project, obviously, like it's going to be hard to sort of funnel the users into one particular project if you're not monitoring the quality of the projects. And that's why I think, you know, Kickstarter and some of those other places will deny certain projects because they're like, we want to support smart, well thought out product or projects that are going to succeed. And if we let everybody and their mother who wants to start a project that they may not even finish onto the site, it could sort of dilute the product itself.
Did you use Kickstarter or did you use just an email campaign?
When I did it, I just did PayPal and email. I just emailed everybody I knew and said, hey, I'm trying to raise money for this album, and, you know, referred people on Facebook and stuff like that, and just had a PayPal donate button.
That way you automatically get all of the funds you're asking or that are donated
right,
to you.
Right.
Yeah, I think with the approval process, I could see that going away to some extent. With Kickstarter, when they started, you know, it was there, I think Celeband was already popular. I think they were trying to do that as a way to set themselves apart and maybe have a little more quality control as they really promoted their product. But now that they've grown so big, you know, I mean, unless people are searching for specific projects, they're not really going to find them. So,
I mean, I guess as long as you put your best projects forward, then it doesn't matter if you have a whole bunch of smaller projects.
Yeah. And the thing I liked about Rocket Hub is, you know, they're very accessible guys. They have a lot of really good information, as you heard when Brian was talking, but they've got a lot of resources online that really help you plan out a campaign, and definitely geared to the indie world. And, you know, I know Brian's a musician. I think he said one of the other founders was a musician as well. It just really fit the CD Baby vibe, I thought, as far as their approach. And just really wanting to help people understand what they're doing. Because, as I mentioned in the interview, you know, Hello Morning, we had been talking about doing something like that because we're in the process of recording our next album. And I was just like hitting a wall as far as like, how do you put this together in a way that makes sense, you know? And
we had seen some really poorly done videos from Kickstarter. Well, not from Kickstarter, from bands using Kickstarter.
Yeah, we've seen some people. I mean, because it seems like in the last couple months there's been a wave of people talking about fan funding again. And so we've seen some people put on some campaigns that it just like there's multiple things wrong here that just aren't making sense. It's not connecting. What are some of the keys to make sure that doesn't happen to you? So after talking to Brian, we actually put our campaign together, and it took a lot longer than I expected it as far as the planning stages, because you need a lot of key pieces in place in order to, I think, communicate effectively. And one of them being a video, and a couple of our guys are camera shy. So it's like, how do you navigate that? This is a really important piece. The personal face-to-face talking, you know, is how it's perceived. And that's a very important element, probably one of the most important. And really nailing that and making sure that what you say makes sense and gets the point across. And so anyway, we just launched ours, and it... now I'm just really nervous. We're only asking for $1,500, but I'm not even sure we'll make that. So if anyone out there would like to check out our page and support us, we would greatly appreciate it.
Well, nothing bad happens if you don't make it, right?
No, but...
You just don't get the money.
Right? Actually, I've got three key points that that I kind of took from the interview that I think are important to highlight. One, communication is key in indie music marketing, and that's why I liked this interview. A lot of what he said pertained to crowdfunding, but a lot of it was just about really effectively communicating with your core fan base, and really just kind of thinking about when you're wanting people to take action beyond just, hey, we got shows, you know, hey, we're in the studio, but when you're really trying to get your core fan base to take action on something, that just making sure you're communicating it effectively. Yeah. And something like this is, you know, some of the things he highlighted were really cool. And also the idea that your fans are looking for, especially your diehard fans, something that they can't necessarily get anywhere else, you know. And so before talking to Brian, we had kind of come up with our rewards menu, which is what they call it on Rocket Hub. And it was all merch, like, related stuff.
And a rewards menu would be like, if you donate this much towards the cause, you get this reward. You get a t-shirt or a dinner with the band or something like
that. Yes. And so like we had, and when I say we had, this was before our campaign went live, because once you make the campaign live, you can't change it. So that's part of the reason why it's like took a while to get everything going, because I wanted to make sure that we had that part down. But it was like, you know, $20, you'll get the CD signed. You know, $50 will give you a CD and a t-shirt and stickers. And
right.
So, but then after talking to Brian, he was saying, you know, what people want are things that are more of an experience with the band, mm-hmm. things that personal experiences do great. So we swapped a bunch of things out where we used his idea of the $50 donation level. You get your picture inside. We're going to make a collage and put it inside the album art, and you'll get your picture in that collage. And things like a private lesson with a band member of your choice, you know, learn to play guitar or drums or singing lessons and things like that. So
that's cool.
So that was, so I think communicating that clearly, one of the campaigns that we saw that Chris was referencing, the video said a lot of things that didn't jive with what was being shown on the page itself. Mm-hmm. Like they kind of talked about rewards that didn't match.
And it was very, vague, and it was almost like as they were presenting it in the video, they were just thinking up the ideas off the top of their head. It didn't seem very deliberate.
And the goal was extremely high for what I thought was their fan base, and I could be wrong, but it's about to end and they're not even close. So
if you don't get all the way there, but you're relatively close or maybe halfway there, wouldn't it benefit you to put your own money in order to get out at least the bit that's stuck in there, since you'll get your own money back?
Yeah, and that's you talked about, or one of you asked about hurting. Was it you, Bolton, that said something about? And this is where I think you can hurt your fan base. If it's like, you know, our goal is just $1,500. So if it's like $1,200 and we just throw in...
You don't get the money back if they don't make the goal?
No, that's how most of the fan funding places
are. You better make your goal.
Well, there's serious motivation for that, partly because it kind of holds both sides accountable.
Yeah.
So like, if you've got a $10,000 goal and you only get $500 worth of contributions, those people that contributed are expecting a $10,000 album, but you take their $500 and go make a $500 bedroom recording, then you've kind of, you know.
Well, and do they get the rewards if the goal is not met?
No, because the album won't exist.
So they don't get dinner with the band or anything unless the album is completed.
Yeah. And the idea is also that the fan community is encouraged to make it happen.
Make it happen, right.
So it's not just a matter of I'm donating, it's I'm taking part in making sure this happens.
Interesting.
So if you've got a $10,000 goal, you only make $500, your fan base could be like, hey, wait a minute. You know, you, first of all, you may not have the money to make good on those rewards.
Right.
And because some of them might include special editions of the CD or whatever that you're not going to have the money
exist,
to make.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you're really kind of trying to rally your diehard supporters. And if you rally some of them, you're kind of burn some of your bridges for doing that again for a while.
Right.
So if it doesn't work, it's not like you can try it again in 6 months and get their support.
So it wouldn't be a bad idea to set the budget within your means. So, like, if it doesn't work out, you can still pay for the album, because in that case, you know that if you only get half the money, then you can put in the rest yourself and get out your initial investment.
Yeah, as long as, you know, you think that what you're going to give the fans will be what they bargain for.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I have a feeling that that will, I could see that getting out of control, and somebody, one of the fan funding sites, strongly encouraging not doing that.
Not putting in the money yourself?
Yeah, I mean, but...
But who would know?
Who would know?
If it was just a little bit, I'm not saying you should... If you set a goal of 10,000 and you've only raised 1,000, that you should put 9,000 of your
right.
own money in. But if it was just 100 or 200 bucks
in
order to get 14...
And also, like, if you're putting in, you know, a big chunk of your own money and you're spending that money anyway, that's one thing. But if you're putting in a chunk of your money just to pay yourself back and not using it for the album,
right?
Just floating it on a credit card, then you could probably, you know, you could put yourself in a situation that disenfranchises your fans, makes them, you know, a little disappointed. I mean, I think that the whole Celeband, which there's a phone call about coming up, Celeband, when they had, I always forget what the... I always want to say Run DMC, but it's not Run DMC.
Public Enemy.
Yeah. When they were asking for $250,000 and they were nowhere near close to their goal, so they weren't going to get the money. There was some, I don't know, just weirdness. I can't remember how it went down, but it seemed like they were trying to get the money anyway. And then Celeband was having financial issues and it was just a disaster.
You know what it sounds like to me? Like, before you decide to do one of these things, it seems like it's something you have to do all in. You know, if you have a band, a group of people are doing it, like everybody has to be on the same page. If you can't motivate everyone to really do their part, you know, if you're not going all in, then maybe the PayPal method would be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Get all your friends and relatives to donate, you know.
And that's, a very valid point in why I'm a little nervous.
Well, also the friends and relatives thing, it reminded me of, for a lot of young bands, those are the people that are contributing, you know, Uncle Joe, who's got a few extra $100, or in this way, it's making your friends and relatives, the people most likely to give to you, a little more comfortable in their gift and maybe give you a little more than they normally would, because it's like, whoa, little Bobby had the wherewithal to put this video together and to, you know, think it through with the packages. Like, wow, he's like a real pro, you know.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah, and I think that's why people like using the services like Rocket Hub, Kickstarter, and one of the calls coming up that mentions Celeband says that they'll always use PayPal and they don't want to use any of the funding sites. I could see their point, but the thing that these sites bring is credibility to your project. There's something a little more substantial to the fact when you're going to this site where a lot of bands and artists are getting funding for various things.
You also just have an audience of people who are interested in being like mini, what do they call them? Not entrepreneurs.
Philanthropists?
Yeah, like mini philanthropists.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, it's kind of cool to be like, I'm giving $20 because I like this band and I don't know who they are and they're in Kansas, but...
But the last of my 3 points that I had mentioned was you must plan ahead, and I think that, you know, plays into what you're saying, Bolton, that, you know, somebody can just throw up a PayPal link, you know, today, and where when they go to the sites, they kind of see you've had to plan out something, at least
right.
If you're going to do it right. I mean, there's still going to be plenty that aren't planned out as that great, but it kind of gives the people a little more confidence of, oh, here's their plan. This is what they're doing. They've spent a lot of time putting this together and thinking about it. I'm going to trust them a little more that what they say is going to happen is going to happen. And then there's this company kind of seeming like adding some legitimacy to it. So that's the benefit I think those companies provide. We'll see how things go. I think this is going to be a big deal for the next, you know, couple years. It's funny because I got an email from somebody and that's not about our specific campaign, but just about fan funding in general and various sites, and they seem to think that this was more in the public consciousness than I think it is. I think, you know, for us, we've been talking about Kickstarter for over a year. When we've interviewed Allison Weiss, she had used Kickstarter, but for most people, this is like a totally brand new idea. Like, we posted on Facebook when we started our campaign this week, and so many people were like, oh, this is an amazing idea.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't contribute, but they thought it was an amazing idea.
I can't remember if I said this on a previous roundtable or if it was just you and I, Kevin, discussing this in the office, but my suspicion is that, yes, you know, 6 months ago, it was the newest, greatest, coolest thing. Now it's cool. It's becoming more popular and known. A year from now, everyone will be doing it, and it will have the same lessening of impact as a place like MySpace did like 4 years ago when all of a sudden everyone was on it, and then everyone was sick of it because of that. So I'm worried that just your average music fan will be getting 3 Kickstarter emails a day from different bands saying, gimme, right. Gimme, gimme, and then they'll be like, stop it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think...
If you boil it down... Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
If you boil it down to its sort of essence, I mean, it's really this whole concept of microfunding, which has been made possible by the internet. That the fact that you can, you know, get just a teeny bit of money from a whole bunch of people, it's really the long tail. And I think that it's a result of the internet. It's not just like a new thing for bands. It's this idea that you can reach large audiences, and if they like you, ask them for a very small amount of money and use that money to, you know, further your projects or your music or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that idea is going to go away. You know, Rocket Hub or Celeband or one of these companies might become obnoxious after a while, but I think that way of doing business, you know, is here to stay. Mm-hmm. And I think more and more musicians will be adopting it.
Yeah, because this is not only popular in the artistic community, it's actually becoming very popular with helping out third world countries and getting people kind of investing in some entrepreneurs in those kind of regions of the country, the whole microfunding kind of thing.
Does it necessarily have to go towards an album, though? Couldn't these...
No, it could go to anything, but...
Tour funding or posters or whatever?
Yeah, because one band I saw on there was raising money to buy a tour van. So it can go to anything, and I think, you know, where it's going to probably be up to the sites like Rocket Hub and Kickstarter to kind of manage the community of users to make sure that, you know, they're not diluting the platform or making... I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it develops because, I mean, I'm like on maybe one band's email list. I don't know. There's probably not many people that
I don't
are
think
on.
U2 is going to be doing any Kickstarter
I
stuff.
I don't know. Their manager's been saying some wacky stuff lately.
But he hates the internet.
That's
so
true.
He won't
does,
know
so
how
he,
to use Kickstarter or Rocket Hub.
They've got their own funding.
Yeah. Oh, it's just an anecdote, but I recently produced a jazz record where most of the recording... was done over a weekend and funded by the artist, this guy named James Gregg. He's a trumpet player. And he's now raising additional funds for the mixing, mastering, duplication, all that stuff. But I thought it was a good way to go about it. He raised enough on his own to record it, videotape it, and then he had the content to make the video with saying, here's the guy's recording, here's what we've already done, now help us sort of take it the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And one of the coolest prizes that he offers is basically he did this sort of... atonal composition where he recorded a melody, but then he's asking for the highest bidder. I think if you bid like a $500 or $1,000, not bid, contribute that much money, you get to actually write the melody by picking like a random set of numbers and then he'll change the melody to that and go back and re-record that part of the song.
Whoa.
And then credit you as, you know, a co-writer in the composition.
Wow, so then you get royalties from it?
Assuming that there are royalties, yeah.
That's what I'm going to do, is spend all my money funding these kind of projects. And that way, when they all get, when one of them hits, I'll be set.
That's a good idea, because you know how many songs become hits these days, like yeah. 1 in 5?
Exactly.
But for $500, you can get, when you get that CD, you can tell your wife or boyfriend, I wrote this song.
Well, I think that highlights something that's important for to recognize about some of these rewards for the musician or, you know, the average artist. Some of this stuff you think, yeah, so what, you know? Not necessarily that example, but like some of the experiences that you could come up with. Like one of the ones that we came up with was having a party at the studio where we recorded the album and just hanging out, having some food, talking about the making of the record and whatever. And, you know, to me and some of my friends, that may not seem like that big of a deal, because I've been in plenty of recording studios. I know how albums are made. But thinking about, you know, the fan, or even just like some bands I'm fans of, going to the studio where they recorded and having that experience mm-hmm. would be really cool. And it's something where you kind of have to think outside of your little musician circle to kind of think, how do fans like to interact with artists, and what kind of things could you do that they would be really stoked about? Like the, you know, saying you got a writing credit, you know, for somebody, mm-hmm. that would be a huge thrill.
You know what you could do is you could sort of start writing songs in like a Mad Lib style, where you sort of like leave empty spaces where you can insert name here.
For $20, you can fill in this verb. Mm.
Yeah. Or just write the song, you know, so that any person's name can be the same, can be the main character. So you'd just be like, I'll write the song about you.
Before we get in the calls, I did want to thank one of our listeners, Ronnie. He contributed to our fan funding page at Rocket Hub. We just posted a couple days ago, and I was very appreciative. And so yeah, if you want to check out what we did, I thought the title was catchy. I'm not going to tell you, so you have to go look. So rockethub.com.
And if you want to see my ghetto PayPal page.
And do you still have it going?
It's still there. I haven't had a donation in forever, but nervousandthekid.com. You can see how I did it. Probably not the smartest way, but it wasn't hard to set up.
All right. Well, let's get into some phone calls.
CD Baby. CD Baby Podcast.
Message line
206-426-5683.
The number you have dialed,
206-426-5683.
Hey there, Kevin. This is Matthew Ebel from MatthewEbel.com and MatthewEbel.net. Just caught episode number 98 with Brian from Rocket Hub. Very good interview. Some excellent points about offering incentives that bring the fans closer to the artist in ways that normal fans don't get to by just buying the music. So definitely some good things to think about. I will tell you that I was part of a crowdfunding service called Celeband, and if you know anything about what happened with Celeband, you'll understand why I say I am completely turned off from all crowdfunding sites pretty much for the rest of my career. After the bankruptcy, we're holding on to your money and we're not giving it back to you until we and PayPal kind of feel like it affair. Yeah, it's not a straight-up escrow service. It's a site that could lose all their funding and go under at any moment. Not that I'm saying Rocket Hub is going to, but it's kind of a buyer and seller beware kind of environment. This is why I do a subscription service over at MatthewEbel.net, where my subscribers are effectively all pre-ordering the CD and getting some perks in the meantime, like live recordings, sketches, piano-only versions, and ideas off the top of my head. So it is possible to do your own crowdfunding without needing a site like Rocket Hub, but Rocket Hub has something that I don't have. It has a crowd of people going there for the purpose of funding artists, and that's not something to be underestimated. So I don't know. It's there's good points and bad points to using a crowdfunding site. So if you have any feedback on that, I hope to hear it on the show, or if you want to leave me any comments directly, you can always hit me at MatthewEbel.com/contact, and keep making a good podcast, and I'll keep listening.
Hey, guys. My name is Stacy Collins, and I'm calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
I'm an independent music artist, and I am just calling to thank you, gentlemen, for your service to the independent music community. I know that you often wonder if your work and all of your efforts are really worth it, and as the listener on the other end, listening to your podcast, I just want you to know that, yes, indeed, it is so valuable, and as an example of your work, I was inspired to start a Kickstarter campaign that you had mentioned in the past, another artist that had been successful at that. I am in the process of recording my third record, and I needed some more money, and I didn't know how I was going to finish. And through your idea of Kickstarter, I did some research and decided that that was a very cool tool, and I started my own campaign, and I was 161% successful, which means that we kicked ass and I raised all the money that I was trying to get to finish my record, and I wouldn't have been able to do that had it not been for you guys putting the word out there in Kickstarter. So I just wanted to say thank you. My second record is available on CD Baby. My name's Stacey Collins, Stacey with an IE. That record's called The Lucky Spot, and this new record I'm working on will have thank you in the liner notes to CD Baby, DIY podcast and Kickstarter for making it possible. Thanks again, you guys. You rock. Keep on doing what you're doing, baby, because you mean a lot to us out there. I know it's an invisible audience sometimes, but we are listening and we care. So you guys are awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for those calls.
Oh, that was very nice of her.
Did you hear that? We got an album credit.
Oh, really? I guess I
what do you?
That.
You're too busy playing with your DJ Phillips shirt over there. Didn't, yes, she said she was putting us in the thank yous of her album.
I was awesome. Busy drying my eyes. That was very touching.
It was.
I don't.
We're changing lives
here. I know
that
sounds sarcastic, but I'm actually being sincere.
I know we're changing lives, but it was very, very nice call. And there's so it was cool that she heard about Kickstarter, tried it out, was successful.
We love the success stories, especially the ones that are attributed to us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, wait till you hear a call coming up.
They take credit away from us.
No,
for their career.
No. And Matthew Eagles, we kind of answered his call earlier in the podcast, but I thought, you know, his experience was interesting. I think the fan funding sites that are out there now are a little bit more stable. Celeband was one of the first ones on the scene. And I don't know, for some reason I was never really interested in them. Something seemed shady about them from the start. I can't remember what it was or why. I just wasn't all that intrigued by what they were doing, but obviously it didn't go down well. But yeah, there are some benefits for doing it yourself and benefits from using a company that is building that sort of, you know, audience that's looking to fund artists. So, so we got more calls, so let's go.
Hi, this is Björn Dahlberg from Brighton, UK. I love the show, and I got really inspired when I heard the Pamplemousse one, especially regarding covers and YouTube. I went to YouTube and looked for the most played song, which was Justin Bieber's Baby, as I'm sure you know. Me and my girlfriend did a moody indie cover of it, simple, just vocals and piano. Then we went out to the beach here in Brighton and asked people who passed by if they'd like to mime one of the lines from the song. To each person, we gave a card with all the information on where they could find the video with themselves in it, our MySpace page, and a promise to post it before midnight. We went home and edited all together in iMovie with some creative time stretching, posted it to YouTube, and put it up as a single on CD Baby. We have done two videos before, but since no one knows of us, it's a bit hard to get plays. But this one has surpassed our other two in less than 1 week. People love seeing themselves, and it's a good way to get the local community involved in your music. You can find it under Brighton Sings Justin Bieber's Baby, or search for Maria McAteer on YouTube and see the baby. All right, thank you.
Hi guys, this is Lisa Lynn from San Francisco calling. A little while back you interviewed me for Strategic Partnerships. I had the baby CD that sold a ton. Anyway, I wanted to give a tip to your listeners about videoing. I do my own video diary. I go out and play at festivals, and I always shoot the festival and a lot of other groups in the festival to share just basically what's going on aside from my own music. And I was at a conference this summer, a folk music conference called Golden Toad Music Camp, and it was incredible musicians from all over the world playing. And at the very last minute, I decided to run around with my video camera just for my own little blog video. And I ended up shooting moments all over the place. Well, it turned out nobody else did that. So when I shared this little blog with the festival people, they ended up putting it on their main website. A ton of people, views came because of it, and it was all because I just took my camera at the last minute and shot as many musicians as I could and put it together just to share what a great festival it was for my own viewers. But because nobody had done it, mine just totally rocked, and everybody loved it, everyone used it, and I got a whole bunch of people looking at my blog because of it. And my blog is at my website, lisalynne.com, LisaLynne.com. And I just think it's really important to not only share your own music, but to go around the whole place and share other musicians, other music, other happenings, just the culture in general, because that's what people will connect to. And quite often, some other musician might pick up your video and run with it as well. So that's it. Great job as usual. Thank you. Bye.
Couple good tips there with video. The first caller, I believe his name was John. It's kind of hard to make out everything. It's easier to hear with headphones on, so I don't know how well it will come through on the podcast. But basically, they're inspired by the Pamplemousse video, and so they went out to a public place and got a bunch of people to mime stuff and videoed it, and they did a moody, you know, piano vocal cover version of a Justin Bieber song. Huh. And then they gave everybody a card with the web address and told them it'd be up by midnight and they could go see themselves in the video.
Wow. And then so they went back and edited it right there.
Yeah,
and so they put the single up on iTunes too.
Yep, they put the single up on CD Baby, which you can now distribute, upload, and sell your single.
In under 48 hours?
So I hear. Rumor has it. So, yeah, it was this cool thing where idea of, you know, they went and filmed this video quickly, and, you know, it's still kind of in the minds of those people, so they're probably curious, and it helped them kind of get the video launched, and he said they got a lot more views for that video than any of their other videos, and just involving the people in that way and getting them excited about it helped launch it, you know, because they're going to show their friends, hey, look, I'm in this music video. So
yeah.
So that was a cool thing. And then Lisa pointed out something that I think is always good to remember, that, you know, sharing content with people, like, you know, if you're in an event and you happen to be covering it, some don't just, you know, blab about what you're doing, but include just the whole scene, the whole culture there, the whole vibe, and then share that video with people, even if it, you know, it could still feature mainly you, but share that video and with the organization putting on the event and other artists, and they may run with it and get you a lot of exposure.
Well, businesses are especially desperate for content because they know that they need to blog and Facebook and Twitter and everything, but they don't always know what to blog and Facebook and Twitter about. So if you're like, look, here's a video I made from, you know, the concert we did for you guys, or here's, you know, I mean, just basically feeding something like that to an organization that, you know, needs content, is they're probably post it, you know, 90% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's something to remember. It doesn't have to be like professionally produced, or, you know, just if you're a part of events and especially with other artists and things, and you've created a video to kind of recap or something, be sure to spread it around. And
even if at a venue, you know, if you play a venue, like, send them the video, they'll put it on their Facebook page or on their blog or something.
Indeed. All right, we've got one last call, and this one is one that I might have to send around to a few people here at the office.
Hey there, my name is Ashley B. Hayes, and I am from Lubbock, Texas, and I just wanted to call and let you guys know what a great job you're doing with the podcast, and let you know that this podcast is the deciding factor. So as soon as my album is done, I will be putting it on CD Baby. I've been doing a lot of research, but this podcast is really what put me over the edge. So keep up the good work, you guys, and thanks.
And we thank you for that call.
I think you single-handedly just
saved the podcast.
I was going to say saved our jobs.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Thank you for my employment.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley, for calling in. This podcast is made available because of the generous folks at CD Baby who allow us to do this. And partly because they just can't stop us.
Because we're unstoppable.
That's right.
We can't shut
it's underground.
Down.
We record in dark closets.
And we use really cheap equipment.
Very.
It's like that movie Pump Up the Volume.
Yeah.
It's totally pirate.
But anyway, so we do appreciate, you know, you artists who listen using CD Baby. That's why we're here. But we don't try to cram it down people's throats because, you know, the podcast is about the artist community and just helping the indie artist community, no matter what music distribution service you are or aren't using. But, you know, let's get real. You need to be using CD Baby.
and Host Baby for your website.
Yeah, and if we haven't highlighted enough that Chris just mentioned recently, we are having incredible delivery speeds to iTunes now. Basically, as long as you fill out everything like you should in your account and don't leave out information we ask for, you'll pretty much be on iTunes within a day or two. I mean, iTunes is really streamlined their process on their end, but we have as well. So we deliver to them every hour.
And so for $9.99, you can get a single up there within 24, 48 hours?
Yeah. So like if you've got some sort of song that you've written that is very timely, because we've talked about timely songs before. You could write it, upload it, get it on iTunes, get on CD Baby, and make millions.
So, you know, if anyone tries, I would love to hear about it. You know, if there's a news item, something that's very current, you record a song that day, get it up. It's the only song out there that's about that news item that just happened in the world. Tell us how much money you make.
Yeah.
Because we might want to try it. Yeah.
But so we appreciate those calls. Again, our listener line is 206-426-5683. And I know that we've had quite a few more calls than that in the past couple weeks, but I've been saving some for our 100th episode, which, like I said, I think we'll be recording next week. So there's still time to get your 100th episode shout-outs in. We're probably going to do a little reminiscing of podcast years gone by. Drink some champagne and whatever else may show up. We'll just have a big fun time. One at a live audience.
We're not going to drink whatever else shows up. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, it depends on what it is.
Okay, yeah. We're going to screen it for quality.
Yeah, that's true. If the seal has been broken, we will not be part.
I'm not drinking Mad Dog at work.
No. So, we appreciate everyone listening, your support. And I was going to say lastly that we've had some pretty big blog articles blowing up over at our blog at diymusician.cdbaby.com. Worthy checking out. We'll probably talk about it in future episodes of the podcast, but one about if you're too old to make it has been raising some hackles.
Are you too old to make it?
Got like 168 comments in 2 days or something, right?
268 comments.
268 comments.
Yes.
It's a lot of old people out there.
And don't forget Host Baby.
We're amongst them now.
That's
right.
Don't forget Host Baby's blog as well.
That's right. We've got a Host Baby blog, a DIY musician blog, and lots of good stuff. If you like to dig in deeper than listening to the podcast, we cover plenty more there. And but we try to save our A game for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anything else we need to mention? info@cdbabypodcast.com.
Looks like a listener of ours, Dan Miles, for our 100th episode, will be sending us 100 stripper grams, which we can divide up at our own discretion.
Thanks, Dan.
Between the three of us. Yeah.
Wow.
That should keep us busy.
Yeah.
And distracted.
That would be an interesting week.
Yeah.
I know.
Thanks, Dan. We'll expect that.